When I was in Sunday school, all the classes gathered together at the beginning because we wanted to listen to Mrs. Borgen tell a story. And she had a flannel graph. Anybody remember them? Oh, yeah. For the kids, we had figures with flannel glued to the back of them, and when you put them up on this board, they stuck there. And so when she told a story, the story became alive because there was the figures moving across the board, interacting with each other as she told the story. She was very effective at that. One of the stories that impressed me from the very beginning was David the shepherd boy. He'd gone to the fields. He wasn't fighting, but his brothers were fighting the Philistines, and he was just bringing them meals. But then Goliath shows up, and they're all afraid of him, and the Israeli army doesn't want to fight him, and the brothers don't want to fight him. But David says, "I'll fight him. I'm really good with my slingshot." I thought, "I've got a slingshot." Shh, my parents didn't know that. But I could never do that. But David said, "I've killed wild animals to protect the sheep. And with God's help, I can defeat Goliath, this huge man." So he reaches down and he picks up 5 smooth stones, and we know the rest of the story. David had God with him, and he knew it, and he could defeat Goliath. And I thought as a child, boy, if I had that kind of faith, what can I do? As I grew up, I learned a lot more about David. First of all, that David was very much a people person. He cared about the people around him. When he became a warrior, he cared about the warriors around him. And he treated them well. And then, under King Saul, David became a great warrior. Our Bible tells us that Saul killed thousands, and David killed 10,000. It was a very ugly time where Israel was the punching bag of the Middle East. And if you didn't defend yourself and kill off these people who were oppressing you, you wouldn't survive. So there was a lot of that in this part of Scripture. David played the lyre. And we know that he wrote psalms. And when he became king of Israel, he united the 12 tribes of Israel, Jacob's kids that never got along, and he united them. And he always praised God that he couldn't have done it without God's help. That spotlight. Right in my eyes. I'm sorry, I'm standing off the side. It's right in my eyes. David knew what God could do with him. David and God together. What couldn't they do? And then we get the story about Bathsheba. You know, there are a lot of CEO types. More women than there used to be, but women and men who have these beautiful corner offices and skyscrapers. And sometimes they look out the window over there and they think about where they came from. Most of them, like David, started at the ground level and built their way up, and they cared about the people around them, and that's how they gained their reputation. Like David on his balcony, they sit in the window and they look out and they think, "Man, look at the power I have. Look at what all I have control of." But you know what? These multimillionaire CEO types, when they're up in their office too often, they begin to look down from their skyscraper and those windows, and the faces of the people become real blurry. and they no longer can hear their voices. If it's in a skyscraper or in a balcony, it's the kind of thing that happens. You forget. David remembered his roots. He remembered him being a shepherd boy and going up through the ranks. And a lot of these other people remember the same thing. But somewhere along the line, some of them forget. Now he was in his 50s and climbing up and up to a point where, yes, he couldn't see people's faces the same way anymore. And he was a foe that everybody feared. Israel was a power in the Middle East for the first time, no longer the laughing stock. And people knew that he guarded that nation with diligence. The problem is, he didn't guard his heart and his faith with the same diligence. You see, in my mind, David wasn't any stronger at any time in his life than when he picked up those 5 stones, because he knew he had the bond with God and it was God that was guiding him. But when he walked out on the balcony that day and looked out on Bathsheba, he started to become weak. David was powerful enough that he could summon a woman that didn't belong to him. But he was so weak, he didn't stop. And then, how many weeks later, Bathsheba sends him a message about a baby. And David becomes weaker. So he schemes to bring Uriah home to be with his wife. And that doesn't work, and he becomes weaker, because then he sends Uriah back to the front lines, knowing that Uriah will be killed. And he becomes weaker and weaker. You know, when you're up there on that balcony or skyscraper, whichever, sometimes you just lose focus, don't you? And that was what happened with David. You know, our Bible paints incredible pictures of everyday people that work with God and become bigger than life characters. We all know their names. But the Bible also includes that every one of these characters have flaws. Now, if the Bible was written to try to recruit people that are non-believers to be disciples of God, it has failed, hasn't it? But see, the Bible teaches us that God works through flawed people to advance the kingdom of God. That's one of the incredible messages. Can you count the number of commandments that David broke in this one incident? Was it 3-4 weeks ago the pastor spoke on the Ten Commandments? And we were reminded at that time that God gave the Israelites the Ten Commandments out of love. They were coming out of captivity in Egypt, and they were an unruly group that were hurting each other and themselves. And God gave them these as guidelines for all of them. And God gave them so that they would start to form an identity with these commandments as a people of God. And of course, they're handed down to us. My campus pastor said, when we break commandments, we're playing God. We say to God, we've got a better idea. We can make up our own rules. And that's a part of what happened with David. In fact, God sends Nathan, the prophet, to David, and he tells him this parable. You know, one of the unique things about parables is they catch you off guard, and you say things and realize things by hearing a story like that, that if you were confronted directly, you'd be defensive about it. David listens to that story, and he condemns himself because he's the main character. In fact, he condemns himself four times over. David was so high up in his balcony, skyscraper, whichever, that he'd lost focus and couldn't see people's faces and couldn't hear them. Now let's be clear. Kings in those days and rich people, rich men, had lots of wives. So did David. He didn't need another wife. He treated Bathsheba and Uriah as faceless, voiceless commodities. I'm sure as you've listened on the news and read articles about some of these CEO types that have resigned from their jobs or been fired, you've said, you know what? I kind of thought I knew some of these people. If you listen to the news, one of the men I listened to on the radio for 35 years, thought he was a kind person. Another person I read a book about, an incredible story. Now, some of them committed adultery. Other ones created a hostile environment in the workplace. They insulted people. And that's where I get into this idea. How can you insult people if you know them personally? They become faceless to them. They didn't matter anymore. They asked them to do things outside of work that were unconscionable. All kinds of scenarios. These people and David are a warning to us. Now, we're not multimillionaires. We probably don't even have a corner office on the ground floor. But we have to watch out. Even in subtle ways do we see, look at people and don't see their faces anymore. How about the aides that work around us? How about people who are starting out work and we haze them, or we work with people that we are supervising and we don't treat them as equals of children of God as they are? And then there are those people that are around us that we count on every day that do things for us. Do we even think about how important they are to us? Postal people, electricians, plumbers, the people that clean our building, do our grounds, and things like that. How do we think about them as individuals? Do we care about them? In our confession, we ask God to forgive us for things that we did and the things that we left undone. The old way was commission and omission. The things that we do to people. We're sinning against people, we're sinning against God, as the commandments say. But there's also those people who Christ calls us out to care about, that society have left faceless, that have been underserved, that don't have a voice, that Christ says we need to reach out to and care about. It's a part of what our confession is. Now, I've given you a litany of all kinds of things to think about, subtle or whatever, for us to be more sensitized to putting faces and voices to people. What is the good news then? Number one, I want to remind you way back to God's promise to Abraham and Sarah. He said, I will care for your people, and who you and your descendants bless, I will bless. And David, of course, is a descendant of Abraham and Sarah. And God never gave up on David. Even when David couldn't forgive himself after he realized what Nathan had told him. By the way, David's family fell apart over this. Two of the brothers killed another brother. Two of them tried to overthrow David as king. David died a shell of himself, but God never gave up on him. To the point that the prophet said, you know, there will be a king out of David's line that will reign forever. Jesus Christ. And we're reminded in our baptism, because of Christ's death and resurrection, we are now brought in as adopted members of Sarah and Abraham's family. That Christ will keep care of us. And Christ will never give up on us. Even when we make these mistakes. If we listen to the confession and the words that we say, forgive us for the things we have done and the things that we have left undone. And think about that in the context of our daily work and everything like that. Then when pastor says, your sins are forgiven, our heart should be lifted up. Because Christ says, this is a new day. This is a new opportunity to get focused on people again that we may not have focused well on. And then we go to the communion where Christ feeds us, offers us his body and blood to go out into the community to serve God. God works through flawed people like my childhood hero David, like each and every one of us, to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
I'm going to read you a passage.